Well, amen. Perhaps you're here this evening and you have not yet staked your very life that He's enough. You said, well, I'm saved. I didn't say that. I don't think that's all she was singing about. Maybe you got some struggles, and a lot of it has to do with where the Lord is in your life, in your heart, what kind of authority He has, how much you yield. Maybe you've just not staked your very life. We don't even know what that means today, do we? Amen. We struggle with even understanding that concept, because we just do a redo, reset, start the game over. Can I tell you, if you've not staked your very life that He's enough, then you've not done enough.
Amen. Amen.
Young people, it's that simple. He gave His very life for you. And if that's not enough for you, you're not right.
Amen. That's right.
The altar's open. You ought to just come down here, say, God, my life is Yours.
Amen.
My life is Yours. You take it. You do whatever You want with it. And I'm going to trust You and help me when I'm weak.
Amen.
Amen. What a blessing. Well, I thank the Lord for allowing us to be here. And I know preacher says this last night. We're leaving Friday morning, which means I'll be here tomorrow night. If you missed anything and want to hear it, come tomorrow night. I'll preach all the other messages, and I'll probably find another one to preach. And if you think I can't, ask my family. Amen. We were with a church planter in Kansas back in February, and Saturday morning and afternoon, I did a 6-hour family life seminar before I preached all day Sunday. Amen. And when we got home that after that early evening from the 6-hour family life seminar that I went through, and the girls, it was for the parents, and so we got back to the house, and the girls said, "How'd it go, Dad?" I said, "Good. You want me to tell you all about it?" And they're like, "No, we know you can. We know you can." Anyways. I appreciate Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I appreciate your desire for the Lord. Yep. And your love for my Lord.
Amen.
It is evident in the liberty to preach. It is evident in your listening.
Yep.
In your response to the messages. I know it's not me. It's the Lord. I don't ever think it's me. Anyways, I don't want to think about that. That's horrible. But I just want to thank you. I want to thank Brother Fogg for inviting us. The Foggs are a blessing to me. He's helped me. They've helped us. And it's difficult always to say everything and be proper and get everything out right. But, we need families like the Foggs. And I'm not saying they're perfect. He wouldn't say that. He wouldn't pretend that. I'm not saying that. But if Christians would work half as hard,
yep,
boy, America would be shaken.
You
got families that are willing to lay it down and to give all, and they see the flesh rear up and want to kill it. And that's what we need. Amen. When I started reading and studying, I was confused about something, and it's what Sunday school was about. We talked on the phone about Sunday school and stuff, and I realized it was just a thought the Lord had given me. It wasn't really a message. And tonight we're going to be in Psalm 116, if you want to turn there. But the thought that the Lord gave me was, when our Lord was coming to the end of His ministry, we say, this earthly life, He uttered these words. He said, "For this cause came I into the world. And he said, and basically what he was telling the people was, I'm about to go to Calvary, and I'm going to pay the price for sin, for all mankind, to cover every sin that's ever been committed. And I am going to shed my blood, the blood of God Almighty,
yep.
And they're going to falsely accuse me, they're going to beat me, and they're going to stick me in a hole in the ground after I willingly give up my life. And then I'm going to rise again.
Yes, sir.
And can I tell you, I thank God for salvation.
Amen.
I thank God that Jesus came to seek and to save that which he had that which was lost.
Yep.
But can I tell you that salvation is not the only reason that Jesus came?
No.
He started his church.
Good.
Amen.
Right.
We often overlook the other things that are connected with his life and ministry. He also came to give us an example.
Yep.
An example. For instance, I think one thing often overlooked is many preachers, and I've heard many theologians, I believe they're confused. Your pastor current can correct me when I'm gone. But they talk about, yes, Jesus is God. He always was God, and he was God when he was on earth. But the miracles that he performed, he didn't use his, God the Son's divinity to do those miracles. He did them in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Right. That's right.
Because otherwise it couldn't be an example. Because I can't have Jesus' power as my power. That doesn't work. But I have the power of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And the miracles which he did, the walking on water, the feeding of the 5, everything he did in the power of the Holy Ghost,
yep,
to leave us an example.
Yes, sir.
And he said, I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you the same power I had when I was here.
Yep. All right. Yep.
But he said, for this cause. And I think the thing that's overlooked the most about Jesus' ministry and what he taught and what we have as a result is what we're dealing with this week. And that is prayer.
Amen. Amen.
For this cause.
Yeah.
You understand that some 6,000 years ago, God stepped out of eternity past and he said, I want to create man, and I want to create man, someone in my image. I'm going to create a being in my image that so that they can choose to fellowship with me.
Yeah.
And he used only the power that God could possibly have. He used his divine power and he spoke the worlds into being. He gave us the universe and every planet and all the stars. He gave us our solar system, our sun. He gave us the earth. He created everything in the earth. He created the mountains and the seas and the trees, the birds, you name it. He created all. And then he created a man in his image. And he set that man in the garden, and he would go down in the cool of the evening, and he would talk, and he would walk with that man, and he would have fellowship.
Yep. All right.
Amen. And the fellowship was broken.
Yes, sir.
God said, well, we'll try something else. So he said, hey, Noah, let's do it this way. I'm going to judge everyone. We'll have another way of fellowship. God destroyed the earth, left the family. It grew. Failure. Fellowship broken again. God called out to Abraham. Said, I'm going to choose a family. I'm going to choose a race of people. And so that I can have fellowship.
Yeah.
We have Abraham. We know the story all the way through the Old Testament. He gave the children of Israel a victory, got them out of bondage, gave them the law. Said, okay, now here's another way of fellowship. And God himself came down and his presence manifest in the temple, in that tabernacle in the wilderness. And God showed up because he said, I want to have fellowship with man.
Yep, right. Man.
Yep.
And they failed.
Yes, sir.
He said, I'm going to give them judges and prophets, and I'm going to be their leader, and I'm going to be their head, and I'm going to be the one that's over them, and they can fellowship with me, and it failed. Gave them a king. It failed.
Yep, sure did.
And he said, There's yet another way that I can have fellowship with man. We'll get rid of the priesthood. We'll get rid of it all. I'll send my son.
Amen. Glory to God.
And I'll send my son.
Yep. Praise the Lord, brother.
And he will forgive their sins.
Amen.
He will cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And I will tear that veil away from the inner holy of holies. And they will have free access to me and all of the millions. And we'll open it up to the Gentiles. Amen. Yeah. And we'll let all, whosoever will, may come. And we may come unto him. And so that they can all have fellowship with God.
Yep. Well, Lord.
And we don't.
Help us.
There's more than salvation that's available to us.
Amen.
There is fellowship with God Almighty. You understand? It's God.
Yep. Amen.
This isn't the mayor or the governor or the president. This is the very God.
Amen.
Right.
I wonder and struggle sometimes if even Christians believe that God is really real.
Yeah.
I mean, do you understand? It's God.
Yeah.
This is the same God that parted the Red Sea. This is the same God that parted the Jordan. This is the same God that did it for Elijah and Elisha. You know, when Elisha slaps the mantle down, he says, "Where's the Lord God of Elijah?" And he said, "I ain't gone nowhere."
Right.
Good. You want to talk with me? You want me in your life? I'm right here.
Amen.
Amen.
And we struggle through this life, and prayer is the last resort. Prayer is the last thing we think about. And I tell you, we need a revival of prayer.
Yes, sir.
To be revived, to be woken up, to be shaken, and to realize that look, it ought not to take the death of 2,500 people with a terrorist attack to make us pray.
Amen.
It ought not to take earthquakes with 5,000 people in Nepal dying to bring us to pray.
Yep.
I guess I'm a little cynical at times. I can be that way sometimes, and it's not right, I understand. But when the earthquake happened over there in Nepal, and those hikers on Mount Everest started sending out the tweets, pray for base camp, pray for base camp, pray for us. You know what I thought? I wonder if they prayed before they went.
Yes, sir.
My instant thought: I wonder what kind of prayer life they have normally. How come all of a sudden now? Oh, now we need God.
Uh-huh. Yep.
David says, I'm sorry, it's not David. We're in Psalm 116. I'm in the right Psalm this time. I got the wrong author. Amen. We'll get it right one of these years. Psalm 116. We're not sure the author of this Psalm. I want to talk about this evening the perception of prayer. Because prayer has an understanding. When we become a people of prayer, we have an understanding that's different. We have a viewpoint that changes. We see things differently. And so there is a perception of prayer, or a perception that prayer brings in our lives. It used to be the normal with Christians. That's why Paul could say our light affliction. Because he was a man of prayer.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
This psalm, I believe, is written as the children of Israel are leaving Egypt. There's several verses in here, and I'm not going to probably take the time to give too much of the history. But this was a congregational song. This was a song that everybody could stand and sing. Everybody would join in. This was for every single person.
Yep.
And it says this: I love the Lord.
Amen.
Would you say that with me? I love the Lord.
Amen.
You know what helps you is when you hear yourself say, I love the Lord.
Amen.
Let's say it again. I love the Lord. Do you really? Now don't just say it because I'm asking you to say it. Okay? When I start saying it, say it to Him. Say it like you mean it. Amen? Don't just say it because I'm asking you to say it. Say it the way you would if you were looking Him in the face. And look at Him and say, I love the Lord.
Amen.
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 Boy, shouldn't we sing that? I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice.
Amen.
And my supplications.
Amen.
Because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live.
Good.
I'll stake my very life on
Amen.
It.
Good.
He's... I know enough to know that He'll be there all the way through no matter what.
Amen.
As long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. Rest, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee.
Amen.
For thou hast delivered my soul from death,
yes.
mine eyes from tears,
yep.
and my feet from falling.
Amen.
I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we sincerely do want to praise You this evening. What a good and glorious and wonderful God and Savior You are. Father, thank You so much for what You've done in our hearts over these past few days. Father, I want to thank You for what You've done in my heart. God, You're so good. Your benefits could never be numbered. We could never begin to praise You enough. Father, sincerely, I look forward to eternity when we can just spend all our time praising You. You're so worthy. Father, I pray tonight You would help us. For Lord, we are still a needy people. We still have this old flesh and the old devil to fight and this world that wants to tear away at our walk with You, our strength, our joy. Oh God, help us, I pray. Father, tonight I pray You'd speak to hearts. I pray Your Spirit would have His will and His way in our very midst this evening. Father, if You've got to tear open the heavens tonight and come down, I ask You, please, tear them open. I pray You'd pour water on this dry ground. God, this city needs revival. This city needs a church that's revived. It needs Christians that are on fire and have a heart that is strong and secure in Thee. Father, please help. We are 100% dependent on You. I ask You tonight to use this simple vessel. Help me to relay the truth that You put on my heart for this hour. Father, I pray that You'd guide my heart and my mind and my lips and help me to communicate it clearly. Father, help me to say everything You'd want me to say and nothing You don't want me to say. And Father, I pray that You'd help us to shut out the cares of this world. Help us to blot everything out and focus. Calm our hearts. Focus our minds. Still us. And speak to us, please. Father, I'll be careful to thank You for all that You do. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. There's so much in this psalm. I don't understand. Boy, I don't understand false religion. I don't understand false religion. Salvation's mentioned in this chapter. We're going to get into this in a little bit as we look into the perspective of prayer, because prayer changes us. And the psalmist starts out and he says these words. He says, "I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications." Can I tell you, there's times when you're praying with the Lord and your voice is clean and crisp and clear, and God can hear your voice and God understands your voice. But then there's times when we're praying and the voice isn't very clear, and the sentences don't even connect. Maybe you've not been there. I know I have. And you don't even know what to say, and you're stammering with words. And we become dependent on that Spirit, that Holy Spirit of God that makes intercession for us, that helps us with groanings that cannot be uttered.
Yep, that's right.
Just don't even know what to say anymore. Have you ever just spent time in prayer? You understand, prayer is two-way conversation.
Yep.
Prayer isn't this. "Hey Samuel, good to see you today. How are you? Sweet hour of prayer. That calls mom. My name is Good World Care. I'm mid me. Oh, you want to say something? Oh no. How you doing? Oh, never mind. It's not me reading a list to him.
Uh-huh.
It is a conversation. It's a conversation. Our society has thrown that away. Our society's torn that away because they do this. "Hey, how's it going? Please don't tell me. How you doing tonight? Don't tell me. How you doing? Don't tell." That's what they do. But that's not what we should do, Christian.
Yeah.
When you ask someone, "How are you today?" why don't you try meaning it?
Amen.
Look them in the eye. If you don't want to know, then just say what I do. Almost everyone in here has heard me say this. When I shook your hand, who can tell me what I said to you? You said, You don't remember. Family, what I say. Thank you, wife. She understands. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
It's good to see you. Because some people, I understand, you don't want to know everything about what's going on. And some people you ask and you just wish you hadn't asked. Amen? It's honesty. It's sincerity. It's conversation. Can I tell you that I have time to greet everybody in the room this evening? I don't have time to have a conversation with everybody in the room this evening. So I can say, "Hey, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad you're here. It's good to see you." But when I stop and I look at you and I ask you, it's because the Spirit has prompted me and I want really to know.
Amen.
Because you might have a good testimony for our Lord that would encourage me. You might have a prayer need that you're going to tell me. And so I mean it when I say it.
Yeah.
See, when we talk to God, there ought to be times in prayer where we're kneeling down and we're saying, "Lord, is there anything you want to tell me?"
Amen.
You ever just knelt down in silence?
Yes, sir.
And just listened? Well, no, I got my list. I got my prayer list. Throw it away then. And listen to God.
Yeah.
Because God wants to speak to your heart.
Yep. Amen.
And He can't do that when you're one always talking. It's one side of conversation.
Amen.
And so in your prayer life, there ought to be times, I said it last night, slow down.
Yeah. Amen.
"Good morning, Lord. I love you."
Amen.
You know what? You get to the point, you hear Him say, "I love you" back.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And then you got some nicer things to say to Him because you're feeling real good, real quick. But when we don't give Him time to talk, "The Lord heard my voice. I love Him because He heard my voice and He hears my supplication."
Amen. Yeah.
But can I tell you, we need to hear Him also.
Amen.
We need to just slow down in this life.
Amen.
Slow down and listen to what God has to say to you. It is a personal relationship.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We talk about a personal... Well, I know. I read the Bible and He talks to me. I pray and He talks to Him. And I talk to Him. Is that all it is? So only either He's talking all the time or I'm talking all the time. Amen? I read my Bible. I know the Lord's talking to me, but I'm in school. Amen? You don't talk out when the teacher's talking. I'm in school. So I'm just reading. Amen? I'm reading my Bible. I'm quiet. I'm in school. Now, I may see some things, and like in church, when I say amen, I go, oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. And I may say something like, but I'm talking to him. He wants conversation.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
Prayer. There's a perception. There's a way of thinking about life that used to be different for the Christian.
Yeah.
And we're letting society creep in and change the very fabric of how we think about life and all the little things. And we've got to get rid of that and be shaken off, let the cobwebs get wiped away and get back to what the Christian life ought to be, used to be.
Amen. Yes,
I want to talk first this evening about prayer's delight. We ought to delight in our Lord.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Can I tell you, there's a lot of things in this world that you can delight in. Amen. I delight in coffee. I delight in chocolate. Amen. Things I probably shouldn't delight so much in. Amen. There's things in this life, and they're nice. They're wonderful. I delight in my wife. I love marriage. I don't know why someone wouldn't want to be married. I don't know why someone wouldn't want to invest in their marriage. To me, there's no greater thing, and there's no greater thing this side of heaven with another human being that could ever possibly be known. I don't care if you win 20 million lotteries. I don't care if you got Super Bowl rings on every finger and every toe. It don't even hold a shadow to what marriage could be.
Amen.
Marriage is awesome. Amen.
Amen.
But anyways, this is a marriage conference. I love marriage. Amen. I love being married. But listen, we ought to delight in our Lord.
Amen.
Prayer gives us things that we delight in that's different than this world. It helps us to cut the ties. To not be as attached. I don't care so much about that. You know, when I first got my life right with the Lord, I played football. I like football. I watch football. I still like football. I got my life right with the Lord, and we'd be going to church there up in Maine. This is back in 1998 and 99, and when we first got married, and we were living in this little 25 by 25 cottage, amen. If you measured, I took a tape measure, measured the outside from corner to corner, and that included the front porch and the back porch. It was 25 feet wide by 25 feet wide, amen. Or long, or however, it was a box, amen. And that's what we lived in when we first got married, amen. It was all ours, and we were on top of the world. And so we'd come home from soul winning on Saturday afternoon during football season, and I'd run in the house, and I'd put college football on, amen, because there was a game already going, praise the Lord. And I'd be watching college football, and I'd be there from 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, there's another game on, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, there's another game on, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, alright, game's over. Oh, that was a good 3 football games in one Saturday. Woo! Boy, I used to think that was revival. Eesh. Lord help me, I was awful. I thought that was great, and my wife would come to me and say, Steve, you know, there's some things that need to be done around the house. You know, the door's squeaking, the sink's leaking, this and that. Oh, hon, I just don't have time. I just don't have time. And God said, you got 8 hours on Saturday to sit there and watch football, and you ain't got time to put a smile on your wife's face?
Uh-oh.
And you dare say you love her? And I went, football! Can I tell you, I like football, but I don't delight in it anymore.
Amen.
I got better things to do.
That's good.
I got better things to do. Now, if I'm watching a game I like, I may jump up, hit the ceiling, and fall over backwards or something else. But it ain't no priority to me anymore.
Yep.
It's not a priority to me. If I miss the game, I'm just as happy.
Amen.
You know?
Yep.
Folks, listen, we ought to have a delight that's different.
Yes, sir.
Prayer will give you a delight that's different. It's not so important you get home to see the show. It's not so important you get to read that last chapter. It's not so, there's other things I delight in, and there's spiritual things.
Amen.
Set not your affections on things of earth, but things above.
Amen.
Our affections ought to be seated above, and what we delight in ought to be where God is, and where God's will is, and where God wants to lead us, and that's where our delights ought to be.
Amen.
Not the things of this world.
Amen.
Prayer changes that. There's several things that prayer delights in. Because the perception has changed. He says, I love the Lord. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. You know, prayer will remind you of that. Prayer, hey listen, did you hear what I said? Prayer will remind you that God loved you first. Prayer will remind you that God gave you His Son, Jesus Christ. Prayer will remind you of the things that are worth delighting in. And we will say, "Woo! I love that! I love the Lord! I love salvation!" And it'll be a fire that's real in our hearts and in our souls because we have a delight in it and it's something that's real.
Amen.
But when we don't pray for a few days,
yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm saved.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm a Christian. We don't pray for a week. Well, yeah, I go to church. Oh, it's awful hard. Oh, the temptations. Oh, boy.
Yes,
oh, what a struggle. Oh. Get back to prayer.
Amen.
Get back to prayer.
Amen.
And you remember, He loves me.
Amen.
He gave His Son for me. Because it's what I said Sunday, right? We pray to the Father. He's now my Father, not my judge.
Yep.
Amen? And we pray to the Father through the Son. And all of those doctrines and all of that relationship is reestablished and reaffirmed in our hearts every time we go to prayer.
Amen.
Can I tell you, prayer will give you something to delight in that's better than anything this world has to offer. But in these verses, I want to show you, first of all, prayer has a delight in truth. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Well, you realize how sweet that is? Now, I've made reference to it several times this week. Please don't misunderstand me. I thank God. We love our camper. We do well in it, and we all get along better than people really honestly think we do. It's not perfect, but people think, oh, how can you live in that? But anyways, there's things we just joke about now, you know? And so anyways, one of them is you can't help but overhearing everything. You do. You overhear everything. When we're in a house or when we're staying at a place and the girls are more than 20 feet away and you can't hear them breathing at night, you feel uncomfortable. Like, where's the kids? Are they okay? What's going on? Because normally you can just hear them breathing because they're so close. Amen?
Yeah.
And can I tell you that it's different? The psalmist did not say, I love the Lord because He hears me. The psalmist said, I know this of a truth, that the God of the universe on purpose knows me personally and He inclines His ear and focuses His hearing in on what I am saying.
Amen.
That is a truth you cannot escape. The Muslims ain't got that truth.
Nope.
The Catholics ain't got that truth.
Amen.
The Mormons ain't got that truth. We have a God that hears our prayers on purpose and answers them. We went through that Sunday night about the power of prayer. God Almighty. There's one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. I don't pray through anybody else but through Jesus. And I know He hears me. We could go verse after verse after verse after verse through the Old Testament, through Psalm, through the New Testament. Several different epistles, and we see doctrine that God hears and answers our prayers.
Amen.
Prayer will help you delight in that truth.
Amen.
Delight in the truth. Can I tell you, the devil wants you to delight in a lie.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you'll be happier if you don't pray. Mm-hmm. You're running late for work anyways. Just skip it. Do it later. You think you're going to delight in that? You think you're going to... That's the devil's lie.
Right.
Delight in a lie. Don't ever delight in the lies. Delight in the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The truth of God's Word. Not only does prayer teach us how to delight in the truth, I want to show you the truth a little bit. Amen. How about Psalm chapter 19? Psalm chapter 19. We got a book that's full of truth. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, when your prayer life increases the way it ought to, your relationship with the Lord gets close like it ought to be, your time in His Word will increase. you will want to read your Bible more. Why? Because prayer delights in truth. Psalm 19 teaches us that the Bible is very truth. In Psalm 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Because the word of God is truth. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Prayer keeps that in focus.
Yep. Amen.
Prayer delights in truth. It delights in trust. Whew. The devil says, trust in yourself. The world says, trust in our way. You deserve a break. Come on, listen to our reasoning. Hey, listen, I don't have time to get there this evening. But look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, if you want to sometime. But I forget, it says, I missed the first verse, the first word. Here we go. I gotta look it up now. I thought I had it and I lost it. It went running like a freight train through my mind and I lost the whole thing. So now I'm going to turn there and read it because it's important. Because the devil has some lies that he wants you to fall into. And it's Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware means be on guard, look out. Is God the type to put up a beware a dog sign when there's no dog in a yard? No, he says beware when there's a real imminent threat. Amen? There's a real threat. So, and he's writing to the Christians, not to lost people. He says, hey Christian, watch out. It's coming your way like a freight train. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. That's man's wisdom. What this world has to say about things, I could care less about. They're fools, because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Their philosophy is garbage. Theology is where it's at, and the Word of God is where it's at. And vain deceit. They'll spoil you through vain deceit. What's that? Empty education.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Well, I'm going to school for social sciences and political sciences and political engineering. Oh, well, that's great. What are you going to do when you graduate? I'm going to work at Walmart. Okay, but I know so much stuff, my brain's like a big omelet up here now, and I'm so confused, I don't know how to vote, how to live, how to have a marriage, how to raise kids, everything's all just, I got all this blah, up here, and there's no foundation, there's no grounding, there's no nothing in it.
Yeah, man. Right.
Empty education. Our nation is full of empty education.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Amen. I'm not preaching on this, I'm just revealing it to you, amen. After the tradition of men, what's acceptable by society? The Supreme Court is voting on tradition of men.
Yeah, that's right.
They're looking right now at voting on tradition of men. Can I tell you, tradition of men has been wrong ever since Genesis chapter 3.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve were the majority, and they both partook of the fruit. Did it make them right? I don't care if you have a million man march on Washington. I don't care if you have 100 million man march on Washington. If you have 100 million man march on Washington, it is to say, we're here out marching to declare the sky is green. You can't change the truth.
That's right.
You're a fool and you don't even know it.
Yep.
You are full of man's tradition and wrong thinking, and you better get found in the Word of God. I don't care what the majority says.
Right.
The majority's always wrong.
Yep.
Ask Noah. Ask Adam and Eve. Ask Daniel. Ask David. Ask Samuel. Ask all the prophets. Ask all of them. Ask all of the priests.
Yep.
Ask them all. And man is always wrong.
Amen. That's right.
Tradition of men after the rudiments of this world. Worldly principles. Oh, so you're thinking about a divorce. So who do you get counsel from? Someone who's been divorced 4 times.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, friend, I know you've failed at marriage like 4 times, right? You're on your 5th marriage now. I know you failed 4 times. I'm struggling in my first one. And since you know so much, maybe you can help me fail. I mean, help me with mine.
Yeah.
That's what the world does. They don't even think about it. Now, if you use the illustration this way and say, yeah, I was thinking about how to lose weight, so I went and found the fattest man I could and say, what do you think I should do?
Yeah.
They'd say, oh, that's ridiculous. But I know so many people that have marital problems that are lost outside of a church. They don't know God. And who do they talk to about their marriage? People have been divorced.
Yeah. Come on.
When my wife and I first started having children, you know who had the most advice about raising kids? People that had none.
Yeah.
Like, so your experience level is zero, and you've got great advice. I worked with this one guy. I'm sorry. I worked with a couple of people. It was the girl I worked with. Her and her friend were trying to convince us, oh, you got to save the planet. You got to use cloth diapers. You know what research proves? This is funny. This is a side note, by the way. This is funny. Do you know you do more environmental damage by using cloth diapers? Because the diaper services and the trucks they drive to pick them up and the machines they use and the detergent they use does more damage to the environment than using the modern disposable diapers. Anyways, rudiments of this world, folks. The world, I'm sorry. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Both those verses in Proverbs. They don't have the fear of God. They don't fear the Lord. They've got no knowledge.
That's right.
They've got no wisdom. Can they teach me how to build a house with carpentry? I understand that. Yes, they can. Can they teach me how to bake bread? Yes, I understand that. But anything that is geared toward life and biblical principles, they know zero about. They don't understand it because their thinking is all wrong. Anyways. That's a little tidbit in Colossians chapter 2. Back to Psalms chapter 116, because prayer delights in the truth. Look at what it says in verse 3 and 4. The sorrows of death compassed me, and pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Can I tell you, everybody's trouble is real.
Yes,
it doesn't matter if you're an 8-year-old boy and you're having trouble in school or with a bully, or if you're an 80-year-old lady and you're a widow figuring out how to make. Everybody's trouble is real, and it's to their level. Our burdens and the things we carry are specifically designed by for us by God Almighty. They are thought out, and they are carefully with love and care placed upon us. And those valleys, they are personal. They are just for us, and God knows exactly what they are. But everybody's burdens are real. Don't ever think anybody's burden's not that big of a deal. You know what teenagers hate? Teenagers hate it when adults think, oh, your burdens aren't very real. Oh, well, you know, you just wait till you're older. Oh, I understand, but be careful how you say that to them. Because their burdens are still real.
Yes, sir.
They don't know what it's like to have a marriage. They don't know what it's like to have a mortgage. They don't know what it's like to have those responsibilities. They've never been there. But where they're at now, they've got a burden to carry.
That's good.
And so he says, I'm carrying this burden. I had these burdens upon me. And he says in verse 4, then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Prayer will help you delight in the trust of God. In trust. Trust God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In every way at work, in every way at home, in every way at rest, in every way in raising your kids, in every way of spending your money, in every way of having a marriage, in every way of dealing with anything in this life. In all thy ways. Dad was a deep theologian, amen? And he used to say this all the time, all means all, and that's all means.
Amen. Yep.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, all your heart, all the ways, all your heart, all the ways. Stop compromising.
Amen. Good.
Christians compromise. Well, I'll trust Him with most of my heart. I'm trying to trust Him with more of my heart. Why don't you just do like the young lady sang tonight and just stake your whole soul on it. Just stake everything on it and say, I'm yours.
Amen.
I'm just all yours. It don't matter. I ain't holding on to anything else. I ain't trusting anything else. I'm all in. Why don't we just get there as Christians and stop holding on to the things that we think are okay in this world? Our dreams, our plans, our expectations, what we think it ought to be, and say, fooey with it, I'm just trusting God.
Amen.
Prayer. Get back to prayer, and prayer will help you to delight that you can trust God at all times, in every way, for all things.
Amen. Good stuff.
Prayer delights. The delight.
Amen.
Delights in trust. Verses 5 and 8, 5 through 8, gracious. Oh, I love these. Gracious is the Lord. I want to point this out. I thought about this while I was reading it and studying it. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. You notice how righteousness is bookend with graciousness and mercy. We often look at righteousness as it's so stern. It's so rigid. It's so unattainable, so high, so perfect that you know, His righteous judgment. And can I tell you something about God's righteous judgment? God in His righteousness cannot sit there and ignore His love. So in His righteous judgment, He is merciful and gracious. When God looks upon our lives in His righteousness, don't fear that. Embrace that.
Amen.
As much as He is righteous, He is love.
Amen.
And so therefore, when He looks upon me in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, and even in my transgressions, He looks at me in righteousness with perfect love, perfect mercy, perfect grace. And it's all poured down upon me in His righteous judgment. Why do you think David used to love His, I love thy righteous judgment. I embrace thy, all Psalm 119, all through the, he had no problem with God's righteous judgment because he understood who God was. He's not some power hungry ogre sitting up on a throne somewhere just looking to rain a judgment down upon you. He is love. We need to remember that. Prayer delights in tenderness. Prayer delights in tenderness. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. That just simply means the unlearned. Those that have not grown yet. They're young. They don't know yet. I was brought low and He helped me. God doesn't, oh yeah, fell again, huh? That's not our God.
Amen.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask it of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I would have stopped asking God for wisdom a long time ago if He came to me and said, asking again, huh? Brother, when are you going to get this finally? I'll ask for wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom again. Lord, give me wisdom for, oh Lord, give me wisdom for my marriage. Oh Lord, give me, I need wisdom. I ask God, hey listen, ask God for wisdom every day. He promises it to you.
Yep.
The tenderness of God. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine ears from my eyes from my tears, and my feet from falling. He knows every tear that you shed. Every time those eyes well up, every time that heart starts rending, He knows. You stay in prayer and you understand how tender our God is. Prayer delights in truth and trust and tenderness. I want you to look at verse 9 with me. In verse 9 he says this, the psalmist writes, can you imagine singing this as a congregation? Can you imagine singing this? And look at what he says in verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
Amen.
You know what the land of the living is, folks? It wasn't Canaan. I know they're talking about deliverance from Egypt. The land of the living is heaven.
Amen.
The psalmist is writing, the song is saying, in the Old Testament, I'm confident I'm going to be in heaven someday.
Amen.
The Old Testament saints understood there's a salvation of the Lord that's more than just coming out of Egypt. That's more than just being delivered from this group or this person or that king or the other. There is a salvation coming from God. And he says that I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Prayer's deliverance.
Amen.
Prayer reminds you about your deliverance. Oh, prayer. We go to prayer and we remember our salvation. That I have been born again. I'm adopted into the family of God. Heaven is real. Look at what he says. He says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? toward me. Isn't that interesting? That one verse he says all men are liars, and the very next words are God's full of benefits. Isn't that interesting? All men break God's law, God gives us benefits.
Yeah.
Why? He's talking about salvation.
Amen.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. But God commendeth His love toward us. What shall I render unto Him for all His benefits toward me? But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Prayer delights in deliverance. It reminds you of your salvation, and it reminds you of other salvations, and it reminds you that God is still in the saving business. Can I tell you something? There's some time, when's the last time, now listen, I just want to remind you something. I thank God for my salvation, but can I tell you, I don't just thank God for my salvation. I thank God for my dad's salvation. I thank God for my mom's salvation. Amen. You young people want to get in that habit. Amen. Because God's good, and it gives a positive light and a good praise towards your parents. Amen. And you ought to thank God that they're saved. Amen. And thank God for my preacher's salvation. And thank God for this man's salvation. Thank God for my brother's salvation. Thank God for my wife's salvation. And we ought to praise God for the people that are saved, that we know are saved. Hey, don't get the Elijah syndrome. Don't sit there and think, oh, I'm Elijah. I'm all alone. I'm by the brook in the wilderness. Oh, I'm the only one left, God. Why don't you start praising God for other people's salvation and start going down the list like we mentioned the other night about praying for the people in the house of God. And you remember, hey, I'm not alone in Denton. I got brother so-and-so in church, and brother so-and-so, and brother DeVito, and brother DeShazo, and brother Frog, and brother, and on and on and on and on and on and on you can go.
Amen.
Amen. It'll keep you from getting that little old Elijah syndrome, huh? Come on now. Prayer's deliverance. Prayer keeps us with deliverance in our perception that God is a God that delivers.
Amen.
He delivers from death and hell. I'm telling you, I'm in the mood. I'm going to read it. Amen. Revelation chapter 21. Hallelujah.
Yep.
I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And hey, listen, it's no more a symbol. It's no more symbolic. It's no more just a temple made with hands. It's the real deal here with us. And then he says this, and he goes on to say, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. Hey, that's in person. Amen. That's in person. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It's down later in the chapter. He says this in verse 22. He says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Amen. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. It did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Can I tell you? The psalmist said, he said this, he said, I will walk before the Lord when the Lamb is the light in the land of the living. I know it's real. I know it's coming. He says this, and John says this in Revelation 22. Amen. He says, and He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of it, and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Amen. Which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves on the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there was no more curse. Amen. The prayers that you pray when you go to God in prayer day by day by day, you'll keep remembering there's a place where there's going to be no curse. I won't need to kneel down and hope He hears. I won't need to kneel down and hope they get saved. The tears will be wiped away. The curse will be gone. There'll be no more death, no more separation. And prayer will remind you of that.
Amen.
The Bible says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
Amen.
That is a very confident statement from someone who had no New Testament. How much more confident ought we to be? How much more confident ought we to be being able to look back 2,000 years at the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Savior, the Messiah, all prophecies fulfilled, everything set in order, everything the way God said it would be, and so much the more. And now here we are waiting for the return, and we're waiting for that rapture. And folks, listen, we neglect prayer, and we forget about heaven. We forget about heaven. Goes back to delighting in the truth. Look at the earth. Look at the world. Look at the world. Look at the world. Look at the world. I said this in a church recently. I think it was back in January. The problem is we look at the cross through the world when we ought to be looking at the world through the cross. I see Jesus first, the Father, heaven. For me and my heart, it's already done. It's already said. It's already settled. I'm as good as there. I'm just waiting to know what it's going to feel like. I won't need sandals. I hate shoes. Amen. Ever since I was a kid, I can't get on my wife's case when the kids are little. Oh, you can put the shoes on. Now you ain't going to put the shoes on. Let them run around barefoot. Amen. If I could preach barefoot, I would, but I don't think it'd be right. I've never liked shoes. Someday I'm going to walk on them streets of gold. I'm going to know what gold feels like underneath the soles of my shoes. Amen. I know it. As much as I'm breathing, I know it. I've got confidence in that. The devil wants to take that confidence away.
Yes, sir.
The devil wants to take that confidence. Look at the world, 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 look at the world.
Yep.
Psalms were written about it. My foot had well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
Yes,
you fool, stop looking at the prosperity of the wicked.
Amen.
They're on a slip and slide that's got Crisco baking grease on it, and they're going down Mount Everest as fast as they can toward the pit of hell. I don't care if they got $10 billion in the bank. I don't care if they own a Bentley for every hour of every day. I don't care if all their kids go to private schools and a different private school for every class. I don't care if they got 19 private jets. They're headed to hell without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Prayer delights in heaven, and it remembers the deliverance. Prayer's deliverance. Hey, listen, deliverance. Keep it in focus. Keep it in mind. Deliverance. From hell. Deliverance from death and hell. Look at verses 10 and 11 with me. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Now see, here's the problem. False religions look at that and say, oh, well see, he was speaking in his haste, so all men aren't liars. There is good in everybody. No, that's not what he's saying.
Nope.
The writer of the psalm is a prophet. He's prophesying truth. And he's just saying, I quickly said, all men are liars. I said it in my haste. I quickly said it. Why? Because you can't deny it.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Any mom ever seen a baby that didn't lie?
Uh-huh.
Any of you mothers in here? You got a baby that never lied. Huh? I've got an uncle. And they're maniacs, amen? Or when you're in Maine, they call you maniacs, amen. So anyways, I'm a maniac. My families were all maniacs. I waited till last night to tell you all that, but anyways. But I got an uncle, and they go to church. They're not saved. And my brother was home on furlough one time from the Philippines, and they were in New Orleans, and he was there on a business trip. He's a computer guy. He was there on a business trip. I think it was New Orleans. It might have been Atlanta, but regardless, they met, and they had a lunch together. And he knew this was probably my only chance to witness to my uncle. And so he sat down at the table. They're having dinner. They finished dinner. And as they finished dinner, my brother started approaching the gospel, the subject of the gospel, and started telling him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asked my uncle this question. He says, have you ever sinned? Have you ever committed a sin? And this is my uncle's answer. This man is serious as can be. He says, yes, I did sin once, but I believe God's forgiven me. He said, I was working at a ticket booth, in South Carolina back during segregation. And, it was my job to only let the white people in. And a black man came to the window and he wanted a ticket to the movie, and I turned him away. And he said, that's my only sin, and I ask God to forgive me, so that's my only sin. And I believe God's forgiven me. My uncle's headed to hell. Because all men are liars. But see, our problem is we don't view it as a sin. It's a little white lie. Can I tell you, a little white lie required God to shed His blood on Calvary. Because it is a sin. You don't tell a lie to help somebody. You tell them the truth because you love them. Speaking the truth in love. Jesus never lied, and nobody loved more than Jesus.
Amen.
We think, oh, if I tell them this little white lie, you know, they won't feel so bad. And I know we come up with all kinds of funny scenarios. When the wife comes up to you and says, "Does this make me look fat?" We're supposed to lie, right? You can find a gracious way of answering, amen. You better find a gracious way. And I know we're approaching on a joking matter, but the statement still stands: a lie is a lie.
Right.
Yes, sir.
A lie is a lie. Okay? And folks, we need to get back to telling the truth. He said in His haste, all men are liars. And what I want to address is that we have been delivered from sin. Prayer reminds us that not only we've been delivered from death and hell, but we've been delivered from sin. I don't have to be a liar anymore. I don't have to tell the lies. Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. I don't have to yield myself members. I don't have to yield my members unto sin and to serve to the sin anymore and death. I can now yield myself servant to God. I can yield my members unto God, and I can be alive under Christ. I no longer have to serve sin. I've been delivered, and prayer reminds us of our deliverance from sin.
Amen.
He says, "I was greatly afflicted," in verse 10. And all men are liars. But then he says in verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" Can I tell you, there's a deliverance from being separated from God. Not only have I been delivered from death and hell, not only have I been delivered from my sin, I've been delivered from being separated from God.
Yeah.
I used to be His enemy.
Yep, right.
He didn't hear my prayers. I didn't know who He was. There was a separation. But now I've been reconciled. Now I, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I didn't used to have peace with God. But salvation brings me peace with God. No longer am I separated from my Creator. No longer am I separated from Him. But now I have fellowship and I have union. I can talk with Him and I can walk with Him. And prayer reminds me of these things, folks.
Amen.
We need to get back to remembering the things of God in our hearts and our minds daily, focused on the truths of the Word of God. It will encourage the saint. It'll bring revival. Amen.
Yep.
So not only is there prayer's delight, prayer's deliverance, but I want to look at prayer's determination. Man, I'm delivered. I'm so thankful I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven, and I have fellowship with God. But prayer's determination. Look at 14 through 19 with me. He says, "I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Now, in the presence of all His people, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly, I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord." Prayer's determination. The author of the psalm had a determination. I ain't going back to Egypt. I ain't going back to separation. I ain't going back to the old. I ain't going back to the death. I was sharing with, I believe it was Brother DeVito last night, I call them the bad old days. Amen. Some people refer to them as the good old days. I don't have good old days yet. Amen. I haven't been living for the Lord long enough. I got bad old days when I was living for myself. And they were bad old days.
Amen.
Amen.
But the determination. I stopped living for God as a teenager, started living for self. I shared some of my testimony with you the other night. In 1998, I gave my life back to the Lord.
Amen.
I've been asked many times by many people who have been backslidden usually people who are looking for an excuse to be backslidden. And they'll say, well, what brought you back to God? I've had pastors ask me that weren't backslidden just so they could counsel somebody who's asking them. Most people who are backslidden, who are asking that question, I believe with all my heart, are simply looking for an excuse to not get right with God. Because they can then say, well, so if that doesn't happen to me, I don't have to get right with God.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
See, I know about these things. Amen. Amen. Perkins, don't play games. Let's cut it to where it's at. Amen. But I've been asked, what was it that got you back to God? What was it? Simple. It was a choice.
Yeah.
I made a choice.
Amen.
There was no big miracle. There was no great light in the sky. No 400-foot Jesus. No big sound. No big threat from God if you don't get your life right. No. I was sitting in the dining room of my aunt's house, and I made a choice. You see, I was going to get married the next day. I didn't know this at the time, but my fiance, Miss Christy, amen, was being led to the Lord by my sister-in-law out in the driveway. Amen. The day before, the night before our wedding day. 11:46. Is that right? 11:47 p.m. June 25th, 1998.
Amen.
We got married June 26th. Amen. She was less than 12 hours old as a Christian when we got saved. When we got married. And anyways, my brother was in the living room counseling me. And he looked at me and he said, Steve, I know you think you love Christy. And right there, my neck was bowing up. Because I was convinced I loved her. I was backslidden as a rat. But I believed with all my heart I loved her. My wife comes from a family that's a broken home. It's not a good scene. I won't go into it. And my brother looked at me and he said, Steve, you know the truth. You know the Bible. You know what Dad's taught. He said, Steve, if you don't get God involved with this marriage, you'll only give her everything she's ever known in her life. I had no argument. I could not argue against that. My dad had taught too much truth. I had heard too much of the Bible, understood too much of it, and there was absolutely no arguing with it. And I made a choice. Surrender.
Amen.
No more Steve's way. We go God's way now.
Amen.
It was that simple, folks. It's a determination. Now, was from June 26, 1998 to April 29, 2015 all that simple and easy? No. Can I tell you, it took some serious determination.
Yes, sir.
And when you stay in prayer with God, determination is going to build in your life. And understanding how much determination you're going to need. This isn't no easy ride. We're not under the 4-foot level anymore. We're not on the kiddie rides at the fair anymore. This is big boy Christianity. This is where the soldiers of the cross dwell. This is where the saints that have gone on before and the roads that they have tread, now we're treading on them. Listen, this is the real deal.
Yep.
And there's some serious determination. I believe this. I was taught this by a young preacher, and I believe it to be true. I believe that any young person who's brought up in a Christian home, saved at a young age, if they are ever going to do anything fulfilling or anything major for God in their life and fulfill God's perfect will, there's going to be a time in their life where they got to come face to face with God Almighty, and in a clashing, they've got to yield themselves.
Yes, sir.
A lot of young people, they avoid that. Oh no, I'll go with the flow. We'll go to church. We'll put on the clothes. We'll sing the songs. We'll do the works. We'll do the this. We'll do the that. Just don't meet head to head with God. You better watch out. You're looking for a 40-year-old nightmare. You're going to be 40 years old one day, and it's going to be the biggest nightmare you ever knew because you just didn't get real with God. You never had that determination in the soul that the young lady sang about, and she said, giving it all, just putting it all, just my life, it's all His.
Amen.
You better do it, young person.
Amen.
Mom and Dad, you better do it.
Amen.
You ought to show them the example.
Yes, sir.
You ought to show them, I did it and it works.
Amen.
It brings joy.
Yep. Amen.
The determination.
Good.
Prayer's determination. Let's look at these verses. Verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all His people. He's going to worship. First of all, there's a determined to pay my vows. And I want to talk about this for a minute. Look at verse 14 again. He says, I will pay my vows. Look at verse 17 with me. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Verse 18 again. I will pay my vows. What does it mean to pay your vows unto the Lord? What does that mean? Keep your word. I tell you, there's people sitting, hey, pastor asked it earlier. If you've ever been closer to God than you are now, not only do you need revival, but you better admit you're backslid.
Yes, sir.
You better get the direction going right. But I'm telling you right now, there's people in this auditorium that at one point in their life, under either influence from a godly friend, a parent, or the preaching of the Word of God, or the reading of the Word of God, or time in prayer, the Holy Ghost of God entered into their heart, came into their life, and convicted them about something, and they made a commitment to God,
yep,
and said, God, I'm going to do this.
Amen.
And you didn't do it. You didn't do it. You're a liar and a thief. You told God, I'm going to do it. And you didn't pay your vow. The psalmist said, we got so much to delight in. We got a God that hears us, that answers us, that loves us. He's merciful with us. He's delivered us. We've got a God we can focus on His salvation. We understand His deliverance, and we want to stay focused on that. And He says, because of all the delights that we get and because of that deliverance, I am going to be determined to pay my vows. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts me of something, you ain't talking to the lady down at 7-Eleven. You ain't talking to your brother or sister anymore. You ain't trying to scrape something past mom. You ain't trying to get out of the service. You're talking to God Almighty, the one that makes your lungs work in your chest and keeps the heart beating in your chest, the very God that created you and holds your being. And we're sitting here in His church tonight and we're saying we're good Christians, but we've got lie stacked upon lie stacked upon lie, things we told God we do and we don't do them.
Help us.
We don't witness the way we said we would at one time. We don't memorize the scripture like we said we would at one time. We don't pray for others like we said we would at one time.
Yep.
Some may have surrendered their life to mission, surrendered their life to the ministry, surrendered their life and already done what was sung about this evening and just given it all to God because you know He's faithful.
Yep.
But you've pulled back.
Come on.
The psalmist said, I'm determined.
Amen.
I've set my face like a flint. And there ain't no turning back. You just try me. I ain't turning for nothing. I'm not wavering. I'm not going anywhere. My face is set. My path is chosen. And there's no going back. In fact, you know what we ought to do? We ought to just say, God, if I waver, just kill me.
Yep. Come on. Yes, sir.
Come on.
Hello. Would you rather be in heaven with the Lord or be a bad testimony of the church down here?
That's right. That's right.
Remember, perspective. Prayer's perspective.
Yeah.
Change the way you view things.
Amen.
I can live in comfort and ease down here and be a miserable testimony of Christianity down here, or I can be with God. God, if I waver off this path, please kill me.
Well,
take me out of this life. I ain't worthy. I got a preacher friend. You want to talk about hard? I got a preacher friend. All while his children were going up, he'd go in every night after they were asleep, and he'd pray for his children. He'd put his hand on each one of them, and he'd say, God, if they're not going to serve you when they grow up, would you take them now?
Yep.
You want to talk about love?
No.
You want to talk about love? Would you rather they grow up and be some cancer-ridden harlot addicted to drugs, sitting on some back alley some way, selling herself?
Hello.
Or in heaven when she's a baby? Oh, we're so selfish.
Right.
Oh, we're so selfish. Oh, I want to enjoy my kids. I want to enjoy this. How about what God wants?
Yes, sir.
The determination. I ain't going back. I'm paying my vows. I'm paying my vows.
Amen.
And when you stay in close relationship with God, that Holy Spirit, you know, the one that don't like being talked about, the one that don't like being flashed all over, He has this way of reminding you about your commitments.
Yes, sir.
But when you neglect that prayer, you don't hear that voice so much.
Amen.
Prayer's determination. Determined to pay my vows. I wonder how many here tonight have made a vow to God and you've fallen.
Yep.
Now, I'm not trying to be harsh and mean, because a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again.
Amen.
there's room. There's room with God. Forgiveness, restoration, get back on track. But let's be determined about it. If you made a decision, you ought to come back to the altar tonight and get it right. Reaffirm it and say, God, burn it in my chest. Burn it in my heart so I never forget. And I'm serious. God, if I waver, just kill me. It's better my children grow the rest of their days without a father than have a backslidden father who serves himself and harms them. It's a serious matter. Being determined with God. Prayer is determination. Not only that, prayer is determined to serve God now. Look at what he says in these verses. He says, verse 16, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I owe it all to you. I owe everything to you. I will serve you throughout all my days. I've tried and tried. You know, you almost get sick and tired of trying to tell churches. You repeat the same thing over and over. It's like they don't get it. They don't understand. When we go in and present our ministry, and you talk about evangelism, well, you know, God called you into evangelism, so what does that mean? That means Philippians chapter 2. I follow the example of Christ. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. If being a servant was good enough for my Savior, being a servant's good enough for me.
Amen.
Okay? The world hates the concept of being a servant.
Yep.
Look at them.
Yep.
It's all about entitlements and what I got, and I got mine. Yeah? Well, if you're a good Christian, you give it to others, right? Like Barnabas, huh?
Yep.
Hmm? But you ain't worried about others. You got yours. No. No, 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 no. I want to be a servant. There is no higher calling in all of the world than that of a servant.
Amen, brother.
The greatest servants that I've ever met, the greatest servants that I will ever know, are pastors, missionaries, men that serve others.
Amen.
They stand over people. They warn them about hell.
Yep.
They weep over them. They direct them. They invest in them. And they serve them day in and day out. And then the people turn around and say, oh, well, you know, he does preach about money. Well, why don't you stop advertising that God's convicting you about that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know that's true, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
The people that complain, he only ever preaches about money. Oh, he always ever preaches about this. Well, so why don't you just surrender to God?
Yeah.
Amen. And he won't be preaching about that anymore because no one else in the church thinks he preaches about that except for you. Because every time he gets up and preaches upon creation or revelation, you think he's preaching on money because the Holy Ghost of God's convicting you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But they're servants, folks.
Yep.
They're servants. It's not this, let's see how many men we can get up here and look how great we are and look at all this and all. No. He made himself of no reputation.
Amen.
I'm a failure if you walk away from this and next week you're talking about my name. I'm a failure. You understand that?
Yeah.
It's not about Steve.
Amen.
Not only is he determined to serve God, but finally this evening, he's determined to be an example to the believers. Can I tell you, we're really missing the edification of the believers. Only use not your liberty as an offense.
Yeah.
You've got liberty in the New Testament to do what you want to do and go where you want to go. But a lot of times we don't realize our liberty is offending others and causing a stumbling block for others. And the psalmist understood that before the church. He says this in verse 14. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all His people. I'm going to live a testimony of a holy life.
Amen.
And serving God in front of the church. Look at what he says in verse 18. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence. The same thing. He reiterates. Twice he says, I'm going to pay my vows. When the Holy Spirit convicts me of something, I'm going to follow through with it. Twice he says it. Once isn't enough. Twice he nails down on it. And then he turns and says, in the presence of the people.
Yep.
In the presence of the people. Folks, we need to be an example to the believer. We need to live an example and show people. And then he says this in verse 19, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, right in the middle of Jerusalem, in the Lord's house, in His courts, I am going to live for God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to lift Him up, and I'm going to live right. We love the verse. You know, I hear a lot of preachers, and they love Hebrews 10:25. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But you know what verse 24 says? I know your preacher knows it. I've heard him quote it before. I believe the last time we were here, he quoted it, and I remember it because not many guys do. Amen. This is the type of thing I remember. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly. Do you know you don't have to come to church if you don't want to? I mean, you won't go to hell, but you won't be right with God.
Right.
But anyways, you don't want to. You don't have to. But can I tell you, when you don't come to the services for a special meeting or for Saturday soul winning, then you are not having any consideration for the other believers in the church, and you are being selfish with your life, and you are not trying to edify or to consider one another to provoke unto love and good works.
That's right, brother.
I'm the youngest of four. The youngest knows things about provoking. I thought I'd get an amen from your sisters right there, but they're being good, godly young ladies. Amen. I know about provoking. My brothers were all 3 years apart. When I'm 10 years old, I'd get in fights with a 19-year-old. Why do you think I was? I told you last night how tough I was in high school. Why do you think? Amen. When a 10, you start at 10 getting beat up by a 19-year-old, at 11 he's 20 and so on. I mean, anyways, that's just how it was. Amen. But I couldn't ever whoop him. Amen. But you know what I could do? I could bug him until he punched me. I could provoke him and provoke him and provoke him and provoke him and I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I won't get your glasses dirty. I won't get your glasses dirty. Until finally, bam! Dad! Ah! And then Dad would whoop him. Amen. I didn't have to whoop him. Dad would. Amen. The youngest are always the worst. Amen. But you understand, to provoke means that you move somebody in their spirit in a direction. Do your actions, does your behavior push the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit of God has placed you a member in? Does your actions provoke those others toward God?
Come on.
I'll pay my vows in the presence of all thy people. I'm doing it in front of everybody so everybody can see and the church can know. Hey, listen, I don't do it to be, look at what Steve does. Oh, look, he thinks he's holier than thou. I do it for the Lord.
Amen.
But I make sure that I don't hide it. You see, you do your alms deeds in the closet. You do your prayers in the closet. But then the rewarding openly and your determination and your mindset and the perception that you have from prayer and your delights and the remembrance of your deliverance and your determinations, you don't mind talking about that and sharing that with everybody you meet and know and being accountable to them and showing you, this is what I've said, this is what I'm doing, this is the direction I'm going, and watch as I go. That's provoking one another to love and good works.
Amen.
There's New Testament doctrine all through this chapter. It's absolutely amazing. Because it's just God's doctrine.
Amen.
It's all there, folks. See, prayer has a different way. Prayer has a way of making us look at things differently and understand things differently. Prayer has a different perception.
Good.
And we need to get back to prayer's perception, prayer's way of looking at life, and not just the status quo.
Amen.
Yeah, we just go to church and we do the things and I carry the Bible and I read now and then and get back to prayer. I hope you fasted today with us. There's many in the church that said they're going to fast. The Fogs fasted. My family fasted. Others fasted. I know there were some were fasting maybe before. Folks, listen. Praise God.
Amen.
Please don't let this be a flash in the pan.
Amen.
Amen.
Please don't let this be something that, oh yeah, we had a great meeting. Yeah, remember that meeting we had last year? What was that on?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Be determined.
Amen.
Be determined.
Amen.
That I am going to be a Christian that's known for my prayer life. I'm going to pay my vows unto God. I'm going to remember His sweet salvation. I'm going to delight in the things God delights in. I'm going to let Him have my life. My life is yours to control. Your will, Lord, not mine. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice, my supplications. Would you stand together with me, please, this evening, with your heads bowed and eyes closed? If the Lord's spoken to your heart, why don't you come to this altar and do business with God? If you've made vows in the past to God, if you've made commitments to God and you've fallen through, can I tell you the Lord is gracious? These verses we read said it, gracious is the Lord, righteous, yea, our God is merciful. As the pianist plays a verse of invitation, I'd ask you, let's reaffirm our vows and let's determine to pay our vows unto the Lord. And say, God, I will not be deterred. I'm following You. There's many praying. The altar's open. As the pianist plays, please, do business with God. Do business with God.